Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given us to be in your house, Lord. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. I know tonight, Lord, that many stayed in and many came home from the camp tired. But thank you that we're here, Lord. Thank you that my brothers and sisters are here, that they took the time to come out just to hear your word, to get refreshed, to get encouraged, to get built up through your word, and just to learn more about you through your word, Lord. And so our prayer, Lord, is that as we open your word, you would just come and just open our hearts, Lord, that you would help us tonight, Lord, just to be focused, just to be ready with prepared hearts, with open hands, ready to receive, Lord, that we could just continue to grow in your grace and knowledge, Lord. We love you, Lord. That's why we're here ultimately, Lord, is because we love you, Lord, and we just want to know more about you through your word. And so bless our time, we pray, Lord. Give me grace to share. Give my family grace to receive. And that in all things you would be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless, fam. Thank you so much. If you have your Bibles, what if you turn with me to the Gospel of John? And tonight we're just going to continue our little Bible study that we've been having in the Gospel of John now for a few months. And we're still in chapter 1. But we now are going to be covering verses 19 through 34. And so finally we are finished with the first 18 verses. If you guys recall, we know the first 18 verses as the prologue. Prologue comes from a Greek word, prologos, which literally means before I speak, before I discourse. And really from the beginning in church history, we've always known these first 18 verses as the prologue, because the idea is John begins his gospel with an introduction before he speaks about Jesus, before he gets into the details about his ministry, his life. John just kind of gives us this summary of the person, of the work of Jesus. And really, the idea is there's no one like him. There's no one like the Lord. He is God. He is creator. He is the true light. He is life. He is the promised Messiah. And there's no one like him. And so we've been kind of covering that now for a few months. And now beginning in verse 19, which we are going to be in tonight, verse 19 through 35, now John finally begins to get into the ministry of Jesus, the life, the ministry of Jesus, and he begins speaking about John the Baptist. Now, if you recall, and look with me really quick in verse 6, John the Evangelist, who's the author, we know him as John the Evangelist, John the Apostle, he's already talked about John the Baptist. And look at verse 6, he tells us there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And then notice this little word, he came as a witness. And so God sent John the Baptist, John the Apostle tells us, and really John the Baptist's job, his purpose, was to be a witness for Jesus, to testify of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah. And so John the Apostle has already mentioned John the Baptist. He's already talked about him. He's already told us that John the Baptist came and he was a witness, that Jesus is the true life, the true light, promised Messiah. But notice now in verse 19, once again, and let's just read the first part. We'll read the whole section in a moment. And this is the testimony of John. And so he's already talked about John the Baptist. And once again, he's going to talk about John the Baptist. He's going to talk about the testimony of the Baptist. Now, as we're going to see in chapter 3, and you don't have to turn there, but in chapter 3, he's going to bring up John the Baptist again. So we're not through with John the Baptist, but he's going to bring him up one more time. And this is the idea. John the Baptist is a prophet, a prophet sent from God. He's the messenger that God sent. And so because of that, John the Baptist His testimony holds a lot of weight. It's an important testimony. It's a solid testimony. It's a testimony that we can trust. And so John in his gospel, he's always talking about John the Baptist because he wants us to understand that this is evidence for us to believe in Jesus. Because remember, the purpose of the gospel is that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, we would have life in his name. And so think of it like this. Let's say you were in a courtroom, and let's say you were a jury. And let's say there was an attorney that was trying to build his case. He was trying to convince you to believe what he was presenting you. And one of the ways he would do that is he would bring expert witnesses. Witnesses that will confirm what he's trying to prove. So he's going to bring in Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so. And he's bringing these witnesses because he wants you to understand that there is evidence, solid evidence, to believe in what he's presenting. And so that's how you should look, and that's how you should read a lot of this gospel. Think of this gospel as you're in the courtroom, and John is trying to present the case that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is Messiah. He is God Almighty in the flesh. And what John does is he really calls witnesses to the stands. He calls experts to the stands who will give reliable testimony of Jesus. And really what he's saying is, what's a greater witness than John the Baptist? Because everybody agreed that he was special, that he was a prophet. Even the religious leaders who didn't follow him understood that God sent him. And so the question is, okay, what was his testimony? What's his message? What's his witness? And really his witness was that Jesus is the Son of God. And so once again, we're going to talk a little bit about John the Baptist, and we're going to talk about the testimony of John the Baptist. And what I want to do is I want to share with you a few things that we see and learn from his testimony, but let's just read it first, like always, and just get a better idea of the text. And so look with me, John 1, let's begin in verse 19, and we'll read all the way down to verse 34, and this is what we read, and this is the testimony of John. This is John the Baptist. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptized if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" And then notice verse 34, "And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and all of God's people declare, amen, amen. And so tonight, we want to talk a little bit about the testimony of John the Baptist. That's actually what I've titled our study tonight. And what I want to do, I want to take these verses 19 through 34, and I want to share with you a few things that we learn, that we see in the testimony of John the Baptist. We can learn so much from his testimony. We can learn so much from him concerning how to testify, how to share our faith. Really, John teaches us what makes an effective witness. I think all of us would confess that we want to be effective witnesses. As believers, we want to share our faith, and we don't only want to share our faith, we want to share our faith effectively, faithfully. We want to get the message out of what Jesus has done. How many would say amen to that? I think that's all in our hearts. But the question always is, okay, how do we do that? And even more than that, how do we do that effectively? Because if we're all honest, again, I think we all would confess that we don't share or we don't testify as much as we would want to. And I think that's all of us. Nobody is condemning anyone. No one's pointing fingers. No one is more spiritual than someone else. But I think we're all in the same boat that we have this desire, but it just doesn't come out like it's supposed to come out. And so the question is, how can we be an effective testimony? Or what are some of the things that we should be testifying about when it comes to our faith? And so really what we see in John here is we kind of see the blueprint of what it means to be an effective witness to the Lord. And I want to share with you a few things. I don't really want to be too long tonight, just because I don't want to be too long. Amen. I've been a little tired. You know, Lily Rose kept me up all night last night and had about 2 hours of sleep. And so, but I'm still ready to go. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm going to try to just be concise and precise tonight. And I want to share with you guys five things. You guys are saying, oh, five things. I think you're going to be short, right? Well, to me, that's short. Five things we see here in John the Baptist. And we're going to start in verse 23. What I want is I want to give you kind of a survey of these verses, John chapter 1, 19 through 34. And I want to share with you a few things that we see and learn in his testimony that we can learn about being effective witnesses. And the first thing I want you to notice in verse 23 is notice that John didn't testify about himself. He's testifying, he's preaching, he's proclaiming the word of God, and he never talks about himself. He never testifies about himself. He's not presenting himself as the Savior. And notice verse 23. We'll read just this verse. He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now we just read that as John is ministering, as he's baptized in Bethany near the Jordan, the Pharisees from Jerusalem, they send a group. They send what we would call a convoy, a group of representatives to ask John who he is, to ask John what's going on. And this is the idea. John the Baptist is starting to get a big following. He's starting to get attention. He's starting to get followers. As we're going to see, he has disciples, and there's a big movement surrounding John. Now a lot of times when we think about John the Baptist, when we read about him, a lot of times the temptation is to think, okay, a handful or maybe a hundreds. But you should think in terms of thousands and thousands. There are crowds of people flocking to the desert to listen and to be baptized by this guy wearing camel hair and eating locusts and honey. And so the religious people, the leaders in Jerusalem, eventually John the Baptist catches their attention. Eventually they say, we have to figure out who this is and what he is saying. And so they send a group, they send a convoy, a representative, or various representatives, and they begin to ask him, who are you? Who are you? And notice in verses 20 and 21, the first thing John the Baptist says is, I am not the Christ. Now, really what he's saying there is, I'm not the Messiah. I am not the promised Messiah that God promised in the Old Testament would send one day. And then the next question they asked him are you Elijah? Now, why did they bring up Elijah? Well, because if you're familiar with the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, God promises that one day he would send Elijah to his people before the day of the Lord, that Elijah would be sent and Elijah would turn the hearts of the people back to God. And so from that day forward, because of that prophecy, the people of Israel always expected, and to this day they expect, for Elijah the prophet to return. They're waiting for Elijah. But John the Baptist confesses, I am not Elijah. I'm not Elijah. And then notice they ask him a third question. They're really giving it to him, interrogating him. They ask him, are you the prophet? Now notice there is an article before prophet, and they ask him, are you the prophet? Now, what is that a reference to? Well, that's a reference to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 18. Because if you remember Deuteronomy, which probably you don't, so I'll remind you, Moses, before the Lord takes him, he promises the people that one day God was going to send a prophet like him. And this prophet would come in the power of the Lord, and he would speak the very words of God to the people. And Moses told the people that when the prophet comes, you must obey him. And so the nation of Israel were also waiting for the prophet, this spokesperson that God was going to send, ultimately the Messiah. But notice that John the Baptist also said, I'm not the prophet. I'm not the Christ. I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet either. And so notice in verse 22, out of frustration, the religious leaders didn't say, well, who are you then? Who the heck are you if you're not the prophet, Messiah, Elijah? And notice verse 23. Now, what he's doing is he's quoting the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Interestingly, that's actually one of the most quoted Old Testament verses in the New Testament. Every gospel author, writer quotes it. And he says, I'm the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And so they ask him, who are you? And notice his response. He simply says, I am a voice. That's all I am. Just a voice, a messenger that God has sent to prepare the way for the Lord. I'm not the Christ. I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet. I am simply a voice. I'm simply someone that you should just listen to. You shouldn't even look to me. You shouldn't even keep your eyes on me. I'm just a voice pointing the direction to the Lord. Now, what's interesting about this is according to Jesus, John the Baptist was the greatest person to be born of a woman. And according to the other gospel writers, John the Baptist was a powerful prophet of God. We would say the last prophet of the Old Testament era. And then even according to Jesus, John the Baptist, to a certain degree, he fulfills the prophecy of Elijah because he came in the power and the spirit of Elijah. And so everybody else is building up John the Baptist. Everyone else is saying, man, he's a prophet. He's a man of God. He's the greatest person ever to be born. He came in the spirit of Elijah. But notice what John says about himself. He just says, I'm just a voice pointing in the direction of Jesus. And so what's the first thing we learn about his testimony? Is he never spoke about himself. He never pointed people to him. He always pointed people to Jesus. He understood that he wasn't the Savior, that he wasn't the answer. He understood that he's not Messiah. He's simply a voice speaking about Messiah and pointing in the direction of Messiah. And so this is the application. As we testify, as we share our faith, as we have that desire to be effective witnesses, the first thing we must always remember is that we're not Messiah. We're not the Christ. We're not the Savior. We are not the answer. It's not about us, and it's not on us. Our only job is to be a voice pointing people in the direction of Jesus. That's our only responsibility. Now, whether or not they listen, whether or not they receive, that's not on us. That is not our responsibility. But all God asks us to be is a voice in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. But it all begins there, that we are not the Savior. We can't save anyone. We can't help anyone. At the end of the day, we can't really do anything for anyone. The only thing we can do and the only thing we should do is point them into the direction of Jesus. And so when people come looking for our help, when people come asking us for advice, when people come to share with us their burdens, our only goal should be to point them to Jesus, to talk to them about Jesus, to share with them about Jesus. Some way, somehow, we got to get the conversation on Jesus, because at the end of the day, Jesus is the only one who can help them. Jesus is the only one who can save them. And so we want to be effective in our testimony like John. We should never testify about ourselves. We shouldn't talk about ourselves thinking that we're the answer, because there's only one answer, and his name is Jesus. How many would say amen to that? So he says, I'm just a voice crying out in the wilderness. Now, notice second, let's just keep it going. The second thing that we learn about his testimony is that he testified with words. He used his words as he testified about Jesus. And now read with me verse 29. And this is just a little detail I want to share really quick, and then we'll actually get into his testimony. Look at this. The next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him, and then notice this little word, and said. And so this is the idea. As John is testifying, as he's speaking and proclaiming the word and being a witness, notice that he uses his words. It's an audible, vocal testimony. He is using his words to testify about Jesus. He's opening his mouth, and he's using his words. Now the question is, and some of you are probably thinking, okay, why Is that a big deal? Why mention that? Why point that out? It's very obvious. What else does he said means? Of course, he's speaking with words. Well, the reason why that's important is because nowadays, within the church, within Christianity, we've got to the point where people think that you can testify without using words. And so right now there's a big movement within the church that says, I testify with my life, but I don't have to use words to testify. Now, most definitely, we can testify with our life, with the way we conduct ourselves, but it doesn't end there. That is not the full testimony, because we have to use our words. We have to talk about Jesus, because my morality, it doesn't save anyone. Me being a good person, and I want to be a good person, so don't misunderstand me, but that's not the gospel. Me being kind and me being respectful, that's just part of the equation. But then we need our words. We need to speak about Jesus. We need to testify. So we use our testimony, our life, to get the people's attention, but then we gotta continue with words. We gotta use our words, and we have to talk about Jesus. Because there's a lot of non-believers who are kind, who are respectful, who are honorable. I remember years ago, before I served the Lord, when I was 18, 19, I used to work at a party store, not the type of party you guys are probably thinking about, but like a birthday party and a party supply. And I'll never forget that one of the managers that I worked with, she was the sweetest lady that you could imagine. She was amazing, but she wasn't a believer. But don't get me wrong, like I was impacted. At the time, I wasn't serving the Lord, and I was impacted by her life, by her kindness, by her graciousness. But guess what? She didn't lead me to the Lord. She did not do anything to me, for me, when it comes to spiritual things, because morality can't save. And so, yes, we testify with our lives. Yes, we have to shine bright for Christ. But notice that's just the preparation. That's just to get the people's attention. That's just for the coworkers and the family and the friends to say there's something different about them. And then we open our mouths and we talk about Jesus. We testify. We use our words. We have to use our words. Now let's be honest. A lot of times I don't use my words, and a lot of times you don't use your words. It's because a lot of times we think we don't have words. We don't have words. We don't know what to say. And listen to this. That's true. That is so true that a lot of times we don't know what to say. We're a little shy. We're a little embarrassed, or we're afraid, or we're in a rush, or maybe we're just not thinking about it. And that is true. And Jesus knew that. He knew that was going to be a problem. And so what Jesus does is he promises us that his Holy Spirit would give us the words. And he literally says that maybe you won't know what to say, but he says, I promise you this, at that moment, my Holy Spirit will give you the words. Because Jesus understood we need to use words to be witnesses. We witness with our lives, and I say amen to that. I hope nobody's misunderstanding me. But then we don't stop there. We got to bring up Jesus in the conversation. We got to go that next step, and we got to encourage them to come to church. Maybe encourage them to read the word. Maybe encourage them, if you can pray for them, somehow, some way, we got to bring Jesus into the conversation. Because remember what we learned. Jesus is the only one who can save. Not my good works, not my morality. I can be the nicest person all my life, but that's not going to save anyone. The only thing that saves is the gospel. And God wants to use our life, but he also wants to use our words. And so John, he doesn't testify of himself, and he uses his words. He's an audible witness of Jesus. Now, if he's testifying, if he's preaching, if he's witnessing, the question is, what does he talk about? And the question for us is, what should we talk about when we want to talk about Jesus, when we want to bring up Jesus? A lot of times we don't know what to say. We don't know how to approach it. What should we be focusing on? I want to just end with two things, because look at what John focuses on in his witness of Jesus. First, in verse 34, notice how he testifies of the person of Jesus, of the person. Now, the idea behind person is who Jesus is. He talks about who Jesus is, because notice verse 34, and I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. And notice, as he's preaching, as he's teaching, as he's being witness, he's testifying that Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, Jesus is God. He's God Almighty. He's the creator of all things. And so for John the Baptist, Jesus is not merely someone special or someone interesting, or Jesus is not merely your friend, but Jesus is God. Everything begins with that truth, that Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. He's the promised Messiah. He's the only Savior. And so as we testify, as we share faith, we always bring up Jesus, and we always start with, Jesus is God. Did you know that Jesus is fully God, that Jesus is Messiah? He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. The uniqueness of Jesus. That's the first thing John the Baptist talks about. Now he goes from the person of Jesus to, notice next, to the work of Jesus. And there's the model, there's the outline. He's really teaching us what to say. Because notice in verse 29, we read, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so notice he testifies, he's the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God. He's the true light, the promised Messiah. He first talks about the person of Jesus, but then notice he mentions the work of Jesus. Because we don't stop with the identity of Jesus. We then must talk about, what did Jesus do? What did he accomplish? Why is he so amazing? As the Son of God, what did he accomplish for us? And John says, he took away the sin of the world. He took away the sin of the world. He died for our sins. He's the Lamb of God. Now, what's amazing about this is that in a couple of days from this text, many believe that it is going to be the Passover. And let me just share with you what I mean. Look at John chapter 2, verse 13. John 2, 13. The Passover of the Jews was at hand. Now, you guys recall what the Passover is all about. That was the feast that the Jews would do every year, and it was to pay memory of the Exodus, of the Passover lamb that was slain in Egypt in order for they could be delivered from Egyptian bondage. And so this is the idea. John the Baptist is preaching. is teaching, is proclaiming the word of God, and Passover is approaching. And so literally as he's preaching, there's thousands of people who are traveling up to Jerusalem, and they're literally taking their lambs. Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us that on any given Passover, there can be over 250,000 lambs slaughtered in Jerusalem, in the temple. And just imagine, just one lamb is for a household. So just imagine, there's about 1 million people traveling to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And so all these lambs are going up to the temple. And John the Baptist, okay, so just picture, try to use your imagination. This is biblical. I'm not tripping out right here. Picture John the Baptist preaching. There's people traveling to Jerusalem with lambs about to celebrate the Passover. This is a way that they're remembering what God did in a way that they're trying to atone for their sins. And in that context, John the Baptist sees Jesus, points to him, and says, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That is powerful. Because what he's saying is all these lambs were just pointing to him. All these lambs is just a picture of him. But he's the true lamb. He's the Lamb of God. And he doesn't simply cover sins. He takes sins away. He doesn't simply put a Band-Aid on your sin. He cleanses your sin. He washes your sins. He transforms your heart. And it's not something you have to do every year over and over again. No, no, one sacrifice. He's the Son of God, and he takes away your sin as you put your faith and trust in him. And immediately, the people saw that and heard that, and they understood what John was saying. Now for us, it's hard to understand. Let's just be honest, because when's the last time you sacrificed a lamb? You would say, unless you ate it for dinner, right? Chances are you've never sacrificed. We don't understand that world. For us, it's strange. It's foreign. And if we're honest, for some of us, it has no meaning at all because we've never even seen a lamb. But in this time, in this culture, for this group of people, it's everything. Because that's all they know. That's all they practice. They understand there's a temple. They understand that God has given us the old covenant. God has given us laws and ceremonies, regulations. And they have this concept of a lamb is offered in their place. And every year they have to take the lamb. They have to substitute a lamb. And John makes all the connections. And he says, that was just a picture. But the true lamb has come, the Son of God. And he's not going to simply cover your sins. He's going to take them away. He's not simply going to temporarily cover them, but he washes and he cleanses. And so what's our message then, fam? What's our message? Well, our message is that Jesus is the Son of God, and through his sacrifice, we can receive forgiveness of sins. That's the message. That's what we got to be sharing. Now, there's other things that come after that, that God will give us peace and God will be with us and God will help us. And those are all biblical truths, but that's not where we start. We always have to start with sin, because the biggest problem we have is what? It's sin. It's our hearts. Everything is connected to the heart. Everything. Think of any problem you might have or any problem you might know of, and the source is the heart. And how do we know that? Because Jesus tells us that it's out of the heart flows evil and bad words and lust and greed and pride and anger and hate and murder. Everything flows from the heart. And so what does Jesus do? He gives us a new heart. He always starts in the heart. And John, he's testifying. And notice what he's preaching. He's not saying you can have your best life now, or he's not saying God wants you to be rich. He doesn't even say God wants to bless you, which I believe God does want to bless us, but he doesn't start there. He starts with the person of Jesus. He's the Son of God, the Lamb of God, and then he talks about the work of Jesus, who takes away the sins of the world. Now I want to end with this. I promised that I was going to be short. And tonight I want to keep my promise because I'm a man of my word, amen? But notice now the fruit of his testimony, because John is preaching and he's witnessing and he's just bearing testimony of Jesus. And the question is always, well, did anyone get saved? Does anyone come to Jesus through his testimony? And the answer is yes, because notice verses 35 and 37, and we'll talk a little bit more about this next week. But notice what we read. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. Now, who are these two disciples? We know one is Andrew, because we're told in verse 40. So we know one is Andrew. Who's Andrew? Peter's brother, Simon Peter's brother. And who's the second disciple that is not named? Many believe, people who are very, very smart, who have dedicated their life studying John, many believe it's John, the author, John the evangelist, the apostle. So many believe those are the two disciples. Now, they're first disciples of John the Baptist. They are following John the Baptist. They believe in his message. They believe in his baptism. And they're hearing everything that he's saying about Jesus. And notice this. And he looked at Jesus, verse 36, as he walked by, and notice he testified again, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then look at verse 37, I end with this. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed who? Who does it say? And they followed Jesus. And so the question is, did John the Baptist's testimony, was it effective? Was it fruitful? And the answer is absolutely. He's by faith, he's just testifying. He's just sharing Jesus. He's opening his mouth, talking about Jesus, the Son of God, who saves from sin. And you want to know what God does? God honors his testimony. He uses it in these two disciples, they go to Christ. They now are followers of Jesus. Now, why do I mention that? Because I think it's important for us to understand that God will also use our testimony, that we will bear fruit if we just keep testifying and keep testifying and keep testifying. Eventually, it's going to bear fruit. Now, and we need to hear that. Because a lot of us, our experience is no fruit. A lot of us, the experience is, man, I always share with him. I always invite her. I'm always trying to talk with them. And nothing happens. And believe me, I know, because the same thing happens to me. But that was John. I can only imagine for weeks and for months, he's testifying. He's testifying. He's sharing. And maybe nothing's happening. But then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and he bears fruit. And that's going to happen to us. You're going to be sharing, you're going to be testifying over and over again. And next thing you know, Jesus shows up. And guess what? That coworker gives their life to Christ. That family member surrenders his life to Jesus. That friend shows up to church when they've never come before. That has happened to me. There's been times that I have texted the same person. This is, God is my witness, for months. And they never respond. They never come to church. And then next thing you know, on Sunday, there they are. And it's like amazing. I get so blown. I get so encouraged. Because I'll be honest with you, a lot of times I want to stop. You know, a lot of times I even sometimes tell the Lord, why? Why do I have a burden for that person? They don't even care. They don't even respond. And then next thing I know, they show up. Next thing I know, they're with their family, raising their hands. There's been times they've given their life to Christ. And it blows my mind what God can do. But he's only asking us to be faithful. Don't give up on that person. Don't give up on that family member, that friend, because you never know what God's going to do. You know, many of you know my testimony. I've said it before. For years, I didn't want anything to do with God. Now, don't misunderstand me. I didn't hate God. I wasn't angry with God. I just loved sin. I just loved the things of this world. And I remember for years, you know, my parents were testifying, were praying, and it would just go one ear and out the next. You know, it's like, boop, boop, okay, I already know it. And then I would even say, I believe it, but I just don't want to live it. I'm having too much fun. And that was my life for years, for years. And then literally one night, this is a true story, this really happened. I was 21 years old. It was in the month of August. I just remember one night on a Saturday night, I went home from a night out in the town. Literally got home like at 4 a.m. And I just had the greatest night of my life, pretty much. And I just went home, okay? Everybody was already asleep. And I went in my room to change to go to bed. And so I changed, brushed my teeth, took off my contacts, right? Did all that stuff. Put my pajamas on. I go into my room. I close the door. The next time I walk out of the room, I'm a born-again Christian. I got saved. Now, some of you say, I don't believe it. Exactly. You shouldn't believe it because it's a miracle. I literally got saved. There was no altar call. Now, I'm not against altar calls. I do altar calls. I love altar calls. There was no preacher. There was no missionary, no evangelist. God just showed up in my room, and I gave my life to Lord Jesus Christ, and I received him as my personal Lord and Savior, and I've been serving the Lord ever since. Now, what do you think the response was of my parents at the beginning? They didn't believe me. You know, they were like, what do you mean, you know? And I was like, man, weren't you praying for years, right? People at church didn't believe it at the beginning. Friends didn't believe me. I remember I had friends tell me, no, I was just with you last night. What do you mean you don't want to do drugs tonight? We're doing them 24 hours ago, you know? And I said, I'm saved. I'm serving Jesus. And that is my testimony. That's crazy. That's just the power of God. And so the question is, if that happened to me, and that happened to all of us to a certain degree, maybe you just didn't go home and got out of the room saved, but you gave your life to Christ, God did that work, why can't it happen to that loved one, to that coworker, to that family? Why can't it happen for some of us? Why can't it happen to my dad, to my mom? For some of us, why can't it happen to my brother, my sister? For some of us, why can't it happen to my cousins, my coworkers, my neighbors? And tonight, God tells us it can happen. It can happen. And all God asks us to do is to testify. And he'll use that in his timing to do a marvelous work. That's all God asks us to do. Just be faithful. Say something. And sometimes we say, well, I only have a few words. And God says, say a few words. Say a few words. Because you know what's going to happen? 3 or 4 days later, God's going to send someone else to that person, and that other person is going to share a few words. And then 3 days later, God's going to send someone else, and that other person is going to share a few more words. Until finally, God's going to send the heavy hitter who's going to hit the home run and lead that person to Christ. And I've seen that happen. I remember, I end with this. I'm not trying to, I already lied to you guys, right? I already took time. No joke, okay? I remember I had a friend of mine for years, okay? One of my best friends. For years, I would testify to him, testify. He didn't want nothing to do with the Lord. I said, okay, you know, I'm going to pray for you. Then he shared with me a testimony that one day he went to Food for Less, and he said that somebody just went up to him and just gave him a track. That's all. And he just said he looked at the track, didn't read it, just looked at it and just said, where are you going when you die? But he didn't think nothing of it, just threw it away. He said a week later, another person at Food for Less went up to him, but actually shared with him a few words about Jesus. And he said he didn't think about it too much at that time, but he just said, okay, you know, thank you for talking. I think at the beginning he thought it was a Jehovah's Witness, right? But he just brushed it off. And then he shared with me the next week, he went to Food for Less, like all of us, he goes weekly to Food for Less, okay? Another person goes up, shares with him more, and invites him to church. And by that time, the light bulb is going off. Because he's thinking to himself, for 3 weeks in a row, someone has come up to me and talked about me, Jesus. And the story goes that eventually he gave his life to Jesus. But it all started with a track, no words. Then it continued with a few words until finally someone came and presented him the whole gospel. Now this week you might be the person with the track. You might be the person with the few words. Or you might be the person who just shares the gospel. I don't know who we're going to be this week, but trust me when I say this, every person is important, and God wants to use us in any way to reach out to someone. And as we testify, we never know what God's going to do. And so I encourage you guys this week, testify. Send a text to someone. Send a message to someone. Call someone. During your lunch break, talk to someone, invite someone to church. Maybe find someone who hasn't come for a while that you have a relationship with, who trusts you. Give them a call. Whatever it takes, let's testify of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for this word, and we want to thank you for John the Baptist, Lord. I think all of us, Lord, as believers, there's always a desire to testify. There's something about testifying. It's awesome, Lord. I know every time I testify, I feel so good, Lord. There's so much excitement and energy. And it's just a neat way, Lord, to make our faith real. It's kind of like a tangible thing that we experience that reminds us what it's all about. And so I just pray, Lord, that you would help us just to testify, Lord. I don't want to share a message tonight or a prayer that's going to make people feel bad or that's going to make people feel guilty. All that matters, Lord, is what we do from today forward, Lord. It doesn't matter how many times we drop the ball. It doesn't matter how many opportunities we missed. All you're asking us is today, Lord, to be a witness, to testify, to use our words, to take advantage of opportunities and to share about who you are and what you've done. And so I pray that you would help us, Lord. I'm the first one to confess, Lord, that I need help. I need strength. I need words, Lord. I need energy. I need love, Lord, for the lost. And so I pray that you would fill my heart with love, Lord, that you would fill my mouth with words, and that you would help me, Lord, to use all the gifts, all the talents, all the opportunities that you've given me, Lord, to be a blessing to someone, whether it's giving a track, whether it's giving a flyer, whether it's sending a text, or whether it's having a full blown out gospel conversation, whatever it is, help us just to be faithful, Lord. Use us, Lord. Why not, Lord? You're going to use someone, Lord. why not use us, Lord? Here we are, Lord. I know, Lord, that every single one of us, we have someone in our life who needs you. We have cousins and we have family members and co-workers. And I pray, Lord, that you would use us, Lord, to reach out to them, to be a blessing and to just point them in your direction, Lord. Because ultimately, you're the one they need, Lord. You're the only answer. You're the only Savior. And like John the Baptist, we just want to be a voice in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. So here we are, Lord. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. God bless you, fam. Grace and peace. We are dismissed. I am not going to ask you to clap because the baby is asleep. Amen. So I don't want to do that to the little baby because I have children, but we can clap in our hearts right now. Right now, in your heart, give a clap offering to the Lord. And we will see you soon, fam. Grace and peace. We're dismissed. Much love, fam. You guys are awesome. And that was a good time in the Word. We'll see you soon. Grace and peace.